I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not married to sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married to sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some of your Wednesday afternoon with us. Very excited that you're here. Reminder, you can stream us on the Odyssey app. You can take us with you anywhere you go. Streaming live on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show or the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Want to get straight here to our guest. Very excited to welcome Senator Roy Blunt onto the show. Senator, it's been a while since I've been able to talk to you. It's so great to have you back here with us this afternoon.
Well, Annie, as I understand it, you were pretty busy.
Yeah. I say being a new mom again, this is the fourth time, you're more occupied than you are busy. But, yeah, it was kind of a blur the last 3 months.
Exactly. Molly Marie, huh?
Yes, Molly Marie, in fact. She's
wonderful.
Great. And well, and we're pretty excited. A lot of
glad
stuff.
Glad you're back to work. But, you know, sometimes having a little work break in the middle of being mom is a good thing.
Yeah, you take it when you can get it, that's for sure. You know, there have been a lot of things in the last couple, I guess last 24 hours, that have broken that I want to ask you about. But I want to give you the opportunity to speak to something that's very important here in the St. Louis area for Missouri, but really for the whole country. You're the senator from the state of Missouri, but we are going to lay to rest here as a community Jared Schmitz tomorrow. And it is a very big day. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to speak to these people who are preparing themselves 24 hours from today to go through this very emotional process of honoring a local hometown hero, Senator Blunt. What's your reaction to what has transpired and what our community is going to be going through here in the next day?
Well, you know, it's been great to see the way the community's reacted. There's nothing you can do to undo this. There's nothing you can do to replace this wonderful young man in his family and his community and what his future might have been. I talked about Jared on the Senate floor yesterday afternoon and quoted the comments his dad made about him, you know, where his dad said that Jared always looked out for everybody, anybody who needed help, he was there. He was selfless, according to his dad. He never put himself first. That's a wonderful thing for a dad to be able to say about a son. And I think the community, along with Jared's family, has reacted to that loss. Obviously, the withdrawal from Iraq was pretty lacking in planning and the other things that you would have assumed would have gone into what should have been months of preparation and a gradual effort to do what needed to be done. You know, Jared and a dozen other people stepped up and gave their lives trying to help other people, which is the ultimate sacrifice that can be expected of someone. And even though you can't undo this, seeing what how the community's reacted is significant. I also talked yesterday about the 56 Missourians included, Jared, who played that ultimate sacrifice as part of either Enduring Freedom or Operation Freedom Sentinel or this withdrawal from Afghanistan. And so we're thinking about Jared today as I was on the House floor yesterday.
Well, we appreciate those words from you, and it's important in this insane news cycle that we're in at this point in time to stop and recognize these people who are signing up and paying the ultimate sacrifice to protect our ability to, you know, bicker about little things and fight tooth and nail for the important things. So we appreciate you weighing in on that. I want to play for you. This is from a hearing or a press conference, I should say, taking place right now with the DOD.
John, there are two allegations in the new Woodward Costa book that have to do with this building in particular, whether General Milley inserted himself into the nuclear launch process. Is there anything unusual that you've seen or that is the Defense Secretary concerned about the reports that General Milley inserted himself into the, tried to stop the president at the time from having the ability to launch nuclear weapons? Can you explain how the process works? And it's been explained to us that he went and just went through, reviewed the procedures, and that he told them that he should be on any conference call with the president, that that's part of the procedures. Is that part of the nuclear procedures? I'm confused.
Well, I certainly can't speak to the revelations that are coming out in the book. I think you saw a statement by the chairman's office specifically addressing this issue. What I can tell you is that it is not uncommon at all for the department to continue to review security protocols, particularly when it comes to our strategic deterrence capabilities.
So that's John Kirby reacting to this question. Everybody is talking about this right now. There are allegations in a Bob Woodward book, which are always very fiery as well. I'm curious what your concern is right now. Do you have a concern about General Milley's actions that have been alleged? And what is your reaction to these rumors as they are at this point in time?
Well, you know, the Woodward books for the last 20 years or so have always been unsourced. I mean, he says he does lots of interviews, but those interviews are seldom, you seldom know who the person was that said what or when they said it or how they said it. So you have to have that context as part of this discussion. And, you know, a part of what allegedly happened here would be reasonable to happen. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff talking to leaders of other military, I think happens all the time, or even reviewing the nuclear process. If the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was trying to impose himself into the whether the decision of the commander in chief could be reversed or not, that's a different thing, and I just have no idea what happened there. I'm sure there are going to be lots of questions asked about this. I think General Milley put out a statement today. I'm sure he's coming near the end of his time as the chairman of the Chiefs of Staff, but I think, you know, there's one way to look at this and even explain it where it was totally reasonable, and another way where if you step over that line to where the civilian authority in the military is somehow going to be overwhelmed by the military itself, that would not be the way our system works. It's not the way it worked with Harry Truman and General MacArthur. It's not the way it's worked in a number of situations, even in recent years, when generals might have questioned the decisions of a president. I'm thinking of President Obama specifically. In one case, that general was dismissed. But the general quickly admitted that, yes, he had said everything the reporter said he had said, and he shouldn't have said it, was what that person said. So I'm sure there are going to be lots of people looking at this. I haven't seen the Woodward book yet, and nobody else has either. At least nobody's been able to buy a copy yet, and we'll just have to continue to watch it and see what happens here.
Yeah, I think that it is important to remember the context, the source of information that we have at this point in time. Senator, you've been around these kinds of stories and the culmination of them as you've been in Washington, D.C., so you probably know how this goes a little bit more than us folks who aren't so close to a lot of these stories. What's your advice to people who are wanting to get to the truth? It's kind of hard in this day, in this age, to find, you know, unfettered truth, access to what is real. How do you go through that process to find out what is real?
Well, I think what happened there is important, and we want to get to the truth, but we don't want to get, you know, we're so easily diverted from the purpose of the moment, which right now, in my view, should be looking at what went wrong in Afghanistan. Every news person that talks about this, every moment that's spent on this is one less moment asking questions about how could the exit from Afghanistan have been such a disaster. So, you know, frankly, if you're on the side of answering those questions, you're probably really relieved that people are talking about, if they're talking about the military, they're not talking about the recent failure, the abandoning of Bagram Airfield without telling anybody, and none of our allies, not even our Afghan allies that we were leaving, or telling our NATO allies, announcing we're leaving, and that's when they found out we were leaving. Remember, they had three times as many troops there as we did, but also understand they weren't going to stay if we weren't going to stay. That's frankly where I think our focus right now should be. I was in a meeting in the Intelligence Committee yesterday asking hard questions about who we got out and how we got them out and who we failed to get out, and exactly how many things went wrong in both the execution of leaving and in the intelligence that was available when people were making these decisions. I think General Miller yesterday had a very frank discussion with the Armed Services Committee, every indication is his advice right up to the end was this will be a mistake to leave, and certainly a mistake to leave the way we're leaving.
Mm. Well, we will be continuing to cover that here for sure on the Annie Frye Show. Senator Blunt, before I let you go, there's a massive spending bill floating around Washington, D.C. I've read a news alert that suggests that Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema will be visiting with the White House. How do you see this playing out, and what should the taxpayers be bracing themselves for?
Well, the spending bill is totally unreasonable. $3.5 trillion of new programs, and frankly, there are even more, and that's a 10-year number, but there are even more programs than that, because some of these new programs in this spending bill imagine that they're going to end after 5 years, and 5 years of these kinds of programs almost always get extended. That's why the Wall Street Journal and others saying this is really a $5 or $5.5 trillion bill. That kind of injection into the economy not only involves the government too much in our society, but also is going to continue to drive these inflationary numbers. Look at a fast food menu. Look at gas prices. Look at what the people are telling you that are trying to make things. That all of their input costs are higher, and so the price is going to be higher to you as well.
Well, we're going to be paying close attention to that. Do you expect Senators Manchin and Sinema to hold fast on their commitment to not sign the big bill or to vote for it?
I hope so. The bill's too big. I'm hoping that they're going to continue to do what they've been saying they would do. I'm not sure that they can pass a much smaller bill, because Bernie Sanders and others are absolutely committed to growing these massive government programs, and they may not vote for a bigger bill if Manchin and Sinema and a half a dozen others may not vote for a smaller bill if Manchin and Sinema and maybe a half a dozen others really don't want this big bill. The best thing to happen here would be to not have a bill. We've had the regular infrastructure debate. That's out of the way. Let's not call a lot of new things infrastructure that have nothing to do with infrastructure and have everything to do with more government involvement in people's lives.
Senator Blunt, thank you for your time today and for your words for Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz. We appreciate it. People are listening, and we're grateful that your voice is a part of this.
Great. Thank you. Yep. See you soon.
Yes, absolutely. Bye. Thank you so much. Senator Blunt there joining us, talking about an array of issues, and grateful that he gave us some of his time. We're going to take a quick break. We've got the rest of the show to have some conversation about a variety of things. I'm going to keep my ear here on this Pentagon press secretary conference with John Kirby. Hear a little bit more about how he defends or just completely doesn't answer Jennifer Griffin's questions, or if other people ask them as well. And I'm reading your comments on our Facebook Live and the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Keep them coming. We love reading them. We love hearing what you think and getting your take. If you've never participated before, how about now? Or you can download that Odyssey app and take us with you wherever you go. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's very fun to watch Brad learn the background of what we're all doing here. Now, Brad, you've consumed this show for some time as a listener and a viewer on the YouTube live stream. And you're learning all of the things that we have to do, all of the extra things. And it's funny to try to sum everything up in an explanation of what we do and why we do it. And then you're like, man, we do a lot of stuff. And then you start questioning, like, why do we do this? It's weird to inventory everything you do, Trisha, in a given day so that you can hand it over and let someone else do it.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like a lot of it's just second nature now. So handing it to Brad and being like, oh, and this, and this, and this, and this. And poor Brad's like, wait, what's important and what's not important? But it's a good chance for us to, use your word, inventory, kind of take stock of what we were doing and prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good to have fresh eyes.
So I've, you know, at my church, I run the soundboard. I'm kind of the tech guy at
You're
the church.
Tech savvy.
I am because I have to be.
Yeah.
But I also like it. It's fun. I am actually really enjoying this stuff, but there's a lot of pressure on hard outs and stuff like that. This is inside baseball.
There's math.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's math.
The thing I'm having trouble with is adding up the time. It's very frustrating that it's not like in hundreds, right?
Right.
You got to do everything in 60s. That's not something your brain just does.
Yeah. And I'm just bad at math in general.
Oh.
And
did you put that on your resume?
No.
Good at tech. Love to do it. Bad at math. But we can't hire him.
You know, that's why I married my wife. She's a math teacher. She teaches.
So you don't have to math.
Right. And I thought I was done with it.
We do the same thing in my house with cooking. I could cook, but he's so good at it. Why would I? And then he goes off because he'll have some work thing or some commitment in the evening. And the kids are looking at me like, we have cereal.
Like, what now, Mom?
If you want to make it. Yeah.
SpaghettiOs for dinner.
So your wife maths for the two of you.
Yes.
Way the relationship's supposed
yes.
to work. You're going to have to start bringing her.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think I could get her away from her job, to be honest with you. I think she really does like teaching.
Yeah, good for her. There are a lot of things that I will ask people before I just bring them out of the air, but I didn't do that, and I'm going to ask you. Can you talk about your parents?
Yeah, I can talk about my parents.
He sent me a screenshot of a text from your mom?
Yes.
And she's pretty happy.
Yes.
She's proud of you.
She's proud of me.
She should be.
But what's really cool is my dad's proud of me, you know. He has funny ways of showing it,
mm-hmm.
but he loves to tell his friends when his kids are doing something awesome, and he must be. So for context, my parents drive trucks. My dad owns a trucking company. My mom now drives with him. Mm-hmm. My brother drives with them. And so, like, the big way truckers communicate is CB radios.
Yeah.
And he is telling everybody that he can.
I love it!
That my son is on the air, and you need to listen to him. It's on 97.1.
The Annie Fry Show loves truckers.
Yes.
We do have a lot of truckers who listen. And I have people who, they truck locally, but I also have people who will go across the country, and they're like, I love tuning you in when I get, they know, like, oh, we're in 97.1 territory. They'll try to position their time through here so that they get to listen to us. And I just think that's the coolest thing ever. I also heard that the St. Louis Bicycle Police listen, and I love that too.
That's so great.
We are covering modes of transportation. And I've heard there's some people who drive in their cars and listen as well. A few.
Just a few of them.
I hope.
It's
mostly
bicycles and trucks, though.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to personally say hello to all of the truckers out there who are listening, and you're using your CB radios and talking about whatever it is we're talking about. I think that's the coolest thing ever. I'm super grateful for you, and you're keeping the country running. Lest us not forget how important the trucking industry is.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's vital. That's something that I grew up with. It's like, oh, you guys don't understand. If the truckers decide that they're done, you're done. If they say, we're not doing it anymore, you can't go to the grocery store because the grocery store will run out of stuff and it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
Your streets will be broken up and pothole filled, worse than they already are if you're in Illinois. You know, there's just nothing will happen.
Yeah.
The whole country will stop.
Well, you can kind of see evidence of that when there's some kind of natural disaster on a grander scale, like a hurricane or whatever. The supply chain gets all screwed up. And if you can't get the goods to where they need to get, then you're in big trouble. Same thing with trucking. And I've heard, you can speak to this a little bit more yourself, Brad, if you're more familiar with it, but at least within the last 10 years, the trucking industry has really needed people. Everybody needs people right now, but you can make a really good living driving a truck.
Yeah, you can make a really good living driving over the road because they are desperate. But I wouldn't say that it's a great life. It takes the right kind of person to do that because, like, if you're over the road, you jump up in the morning on Monday and you don't see anybody until you're back whenever your route's done.
Yeah.
And so fortunately for me growing up, my parents, well, my mom was stay at home whenever I was growing up, but mm-hmm. my dad was always home by the evening. Now, there were times when he had to go work on the trucks and make sure they're ready to go because the owner operator, that responsibility falls on you. But, you know, it's tough, but he was there for me. He was there in my life whenever I was doing those things. So he'd be at my baseball games and whatnot, and that was always exciting for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I just love it, and I wanted to give an opportunity to give them that shout out. I wanted to ask you guys, because we haven't really had a whole lot of time to discuss these big stories that are going on. We talked in the first segment of the show, and if you missed that, you can hear it in a couple of different ways. If you haven't heard the testimony that came out of the Judiciary Committee today with Simone Biles and Ali Reisman, among other gymnasts, Maggie Nichols, Michaela Maroney, those are the names that I have in front of me. You have to hear this, and you have to listen to what people knew, when did they know it, and what did they do about it, and what didn't they do about it. I mean, this is not the story about getting the bad guy, the abuser, because they've done that. Larry Nassar is in jail, and that's where he will be until his dying day. But people who knew about things and people who didn't immediately act to protect these kids. Like I said before, Tricia, the IG said, and they had this on Fox, 70 girls were abused after the FBI was made aware of what was going on. That's so unacceptable.
Yeah.
How do you trust the FBI in anything? I mean, when you see Christopher mm-hmm. Wray up there, and this isn't about political bickering, and, you know, I put that in a very large context, because the things that he's been involved in on our TV screens has been massive as the FBI director. But how does this happen?
Yeah, and because it's not about politics, it gives, you mentioned this earlier, it gives us a chance to really, as a nation, question this organization and this part of our government that either side, both sides have been, you know, when it's Republican controlled, oh, no, nothing to see. When it's Democrat mm-hmm. controlled, nothing to see. Like, we trust in our institutions. And, okay, But like you said, 70 people, children, and we can't trust that they will do something about this.
It's very disconcerting.
Yeah, it is.
Brad, when you said you saw this up and you were kind of paying attention, you had an immediate natural aversion to even exposing yourself to the details.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anytime I hear about anything like this, I get a visceral reaction. It's a gut punch every time that I hear something like that. And my initial reaction is to, okay, I recognize that something terrible happened here, but I don't really want to dive into the nitty-gritty and the details. I don't really have that curiosity about me. And I don't know how to explain it in a way that it makes sense, but I understand the gravity of the situation. I just don't need any more information about that.
You know, it's if you put yourself in a position where you're exposed to, I mean, some of these girls were talking about specific cases of abuse, like exactly what happened to them. And you're listening to it and you're like, my God. And I'm thinking, if this happened to me, if this happened to one of my children, how that would permanently affect your life forever. And it's very hard to process when you're watching it and you're exposing it to your psyche, and you're saying this happened and these are the stories that we know, but there's so many more stories that we don't know. I feel kind of, you get caught between being voyeuristic about it, where you're like, am I just exposing myself to this hardship that someone else happened and it's dramatic and we're just naturally drawn to dramatic things? I feel like it can seem voyeuristic if I feel helpless in it. Like if I can't see what's going on and then turn that into some sort of action that contributes to making sure that another child never is put in the position that these girls were, or to help these individuals move past, I don't know what the right wording is, and I don't want to be disrespectful saying the wrong words, not move past their abuse, but cope with their abuse and be able to come out on another side of their abuse in a way that they can live with it. If I can't contribute to it, I feel helpless, and then I'm like, to your point, Brad, what good is learning this and knowing this?
Yeah, in this specific scenario, what we should be doing is demanding answers, though, right? Like, why in the good Lord's name is the FBI in any way, shape, or form covering for a U.S. gymnastics doctor, of all people? Like, what in the world is happening there? Like, what does
this seems like an obvious one?
Does this man have? Why would they cover it up? Let's figure that out. And as Americans, like, we demand. I mean, the government, the people in government, the people running that hearing, they work for us. Mm-hmm. Let's demand that they get some answers for it.
Yeah. Talking, some of the questions that some of the senators asked were, I think it was, I don't know if it was Chuck Grassley. I don't remember which senator it was. But they said, you know, they asked about a specific program that is put in place to report these things to. Like a safeguard that's put in place so that if something like this is happening, the question from the center was, how do you feel about this specific program? And the answer was, I was listening to it in the car on the way here, and I want to say it was Allie Reisman, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on that. But she started to pick her words very carefully, and she just said, I am not a fan of this program. And then she started listing off story after story after story of reporting this, and the organization that is in charge of processing these reports is funded by the organization, the I think it's the Official Olympics Committee, the organization that would be in question, that was part of the problem. Mm-hmm. So you put the FBI in there and they start finding out these things that are wrong. And, you know, the timeline, Simone Biles talked about how they were aware of her abuse and they were aware of the allegations, and they waited until after the 2016 Olympics to question her on that. How can that possibly make Simone feel?
No, it's disgusting. And how did we get to a place where it was more important to protect these organizations than, I mean, at the first like hint of abuse, like, pull this guy out. What is this guy? Who is this guy to you that it is so important, that your image is so important that you wouldn't just remove him from the situation and say, well, there are horrible people everywhere. We didn't know. Now we do. And we're doing a better job for society calling this out and throwing this monster away.
And what about this report from Fox News that says that the FBI fired the agent who sources say did not properly pursue tips about now disgraced USA Gymnastics national team, Dr. Larry Nassar, just hours before director Christopher Wray. I mean, that's just as good of a name. And Olympic athletes are expected to testify. So the morning, Brad, that they're going to expose all of this and say, you know, heaven knows what. If I don't know if they're provided with a testimony, like if the FBI director or anyone is provided with that testimony or if they hear it for the first time when it's being said. If this dude got fired that morning, that's just, that makes it even worse.
Well, the allegations were in 2015, so.
A little late.
Yeah. Trying to think of, like, how deep does it go? Who's protecting who? Why are they protecting the people that they're protecting? And over the past couple days, I kind of can start looking and I can see how things are connected. You know, we were talking about Rose McGowan a while back, and she says that it's everybody at the top. You know, and my initial thought is there's no way. But then a story like this comes out where an FBI agent is kept on staff, didn't do what he was supposed to do. You've got an organization, the Olympic Committee, who's basically self-checking themselves. And it makes you stop and go, well, maybe, you know. I think as a society, we might be better off if we didn't just dismiss things as conspiracy theory. And if something comes up, maybe look at it.
Investigate it.
Yep, just take a look at it.
Invest in truth.
Yes.
One way or the other, nonpartisan truth. Just to reiterate, the FBI has fired the agent whose sources say did not properly pursue tips about now disgraced Larry Nassar just hours before director Christopher Rams did it again.
A director.
And Olympic athletes are expected to testify today. And going on in this Fox News article, in July, the Justice Department's Inspector General found that the FBI made, quote, fundamental errors in investigating sexual abuse allegations of Nassar and did not treat the case with, quote, utmost seriousness. Even just seriousness would have been great.
Yeah.
Let alone utmost. The inspector general's investigation was spurred by allegations that the FBI failed to promptly address complaints made in 2015 against Nassar. USA Gymnastics had conducted its own internal investigation. A lot of good that did. And then the organization's then president, Stephen Penny, reported the allegations to the FBI's field office in Indianapolis. But it took months before the Bureau opened a formal investigation. At least 40 girls and women said they were molested over a 14-month period. While the FBI was aware of other sexual abuse allegations involving Nassar, officials at USA Gymnastics also contacted FBI officials in L.A., in May of 2016, after 8 months of inactivity from agents in Indianapolis. He wasn't charged until 2016 with federal child pornography offenses and sexual abuse charges in Michigan. Man. Yeah, let's put these people in charge of anything. Good grief. It's hideous. Makes me sick.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, there's really breaking news. And I know that this is going to come as a shock to you all, but studies say that Instagram is not good for young girls.
What?
Their self-esteem.
No.
I don't know why.
Wow.
Brad, how is Instagram for your self-esteem?
I don't have Instagram.
I think I say self-esteem.
No, I have plenty of that.
I have Instagram. I think it's like Annie Fry Show. I'm really bad at it.
Reels on there. It's essentially like the TikTok, the like reels, those short videos.
See, these are things that I know might be there, but I can't.
Oh boy, I've wasted a lot of time.
All right, well, we'll talk about it a little bit when we come back. Shocking information. Instagram's not really doing anything to elevate the self-esteem of young girls. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in a minute.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We have a report. And in my mind, this event that I'm going to tell you is happening while this song is playing in Ryan Wiggins' headphones. One earbud. He lost the other one. I'm just making all this up. Brian on YouTube said, heard of a Ryan Wiggins sighting. He was seen laying on the side of a country road in southern Illinois with an empty 12-pack of White Claw in his hand. Turning 40 must be hard on him. The only problem is the 12-pack wouldn't be empty. 11 would be completely full. One would be open and spilled. And he'd be like, this White Claw doesn't taste very good. But he'd still have it in his hand.
But I love Taylor Swift.
I don't get it. I don't want to get it.
It's all right. Nobody does.
I did definitely get the drift that there is a significant, palpable connection between Ryan Wiggins and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's all I want to know about that.
He loves her so. It's fine. I won't go into this.
The people know. I don't need to know. I was asking on the break here about Trisha's wedding plans. Trisha's engaged. If you were meeting Trisha, you know, for the first time noon to three here since she's been helping fill in the afternoons, you've probably gotten to know her a bit, but today's my wedding anniversary. I don't know if you knew that.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Happy anniversary.
I have to do the math. It's 14 years and four kids, and we've had two houses. We've only moved. I mean, we moved into our house after we got married, and boy, was that... We could afford it. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the word that Donald Trump used to explain some other countries that were unsavory.
I loved your first house.
It took us 3 months to make it livable.
Yeah.
We bought a house in 2007, which, if you remember your history, not a great time to be buying houses. And I remember the banks. I mean, good grief. I remember the banks being like, it appears, according to our math, that you can afford this. I'm like, I've never seen a number that big.
Would you like a $500,000 house?
I mean, it was way smaller than that, and it was still an astronomical number compared to what we could afford. Because we were so poor coming out of college. Two mass communications graduates. My husband is now a teacher, so you can figure out how that went, which was a very good decision on his part. And I was working in radio, and my first radio job... Well, I did that internship for 3 months, and I was Frank Cusimano's producer, intern producer or whatever, on the press box on 590. That was where I got my start. And then after my internship was over and I graduated college, I got a call, and they offered me to continue my internship for free.
Yeah.
So I did it.
What a deal. That's why I'm here, too.
Yeah, right?
97.1 did the same for me.
You can stick around and keep working if you don't mind not getting paid.
Annie's going to have a baby. You want to hang out? Do I have a
deal
for
you? Only reason, I mean, my having babies is really just job creation.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's kept me around.
I've had many interns in my past who have continued on in the business and become very successful. But so, yeah, we lived in this house. It's what we could afford. And we bought it from an estate, and the previous owner, who I understand was a lovely person, also had at least 50 cats in the house at one time. And that took a little bit of elbow grease in order to get. Fortunately, they had pulled out all the carpeting before we ever walked in there. But we're walking around this house, a really well-built house in the 40s. I don't know, like, what's a craftsman house or a bungalow. I don't know what it was. It was white. This is how I identify animals, too. Oh, Mom, what kind of bird is that? That's a white bird. We're walking around this house, and we, like, have our nose buried in our, you know, inner elbow.
This is a really nice house. I think that we can live here.
What?
This is a really, really nice house, and I think this is all we can afford.
And so we bought the house, and 3 months later, we made it livable. We moved in, I think, on Halloween. And those memories and those moments are so important to remember when things get stressful, when you're 14 years into marriage and you're like starting to kind of feel like you get your life together, because then other hard stuff hits you and you need to have those struggles. You're planning a wedding. You're planning a post-COVID wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we got engaged right before COVID, and I said at the very beginning, I wish we would have had something planned so we could have moved it virtual, gotten the gifts, and not had to feed everybody and have the party.
I love it.
But it was kind of too late to do that, so now we've been together a long time. Now we're trying to figure out what that looks like, and it is stressful.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, even just, like, picking a place, like, making that a thing has been difficult. So, and, you know, we're very happy in living our lives, which we're fortunate that we have each other. We have a home. We have a dog. We've already built a life together. So we have the time to.
But you want to get married.
But we do want to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll happen. If you need somebody to help you make decisions, I love making decisions.
I do. A lot. I need a lot of help.
A or B. Absolutely B. I can't even believe you considered A.
Yeah.
I'll do things like that.
Yeah. If it could be as simple as that.
Do you want it to be a surprise wedding?
Yes.
You show up and I surprise, here's your wedding.
Yeah. We actually thought about doing like, let's have like a party under some other ruse and making it our wedding and surprising the guests. If you could do that for me where I show up and it's a surprise and I'm getting married, that would be really helpful. So then
wouldn't
they
that
know.
Be like the wildest thing ever? A surprise wedding?
I'd love it.
Brad, you've been married how long?
13 since, years. Yeah, 2008, that'd be 13.
I think 13. It depends on when you got married. I remember you saying you got married in 08.
Every day seems like the new, I just got married, so.
Because it's just blissfully new?
It is amazing. I'm not going to lie.
Is your wife listening right now?
I don't know.
just in case.
No, this isn't just in case. I mean, it really feels like it, maybe a year.
Really?
Yes.
That's good.
It's great.
It's
amazing.
It's great. No, your wife is lovely. I've met her. She's a fantastic lady. So we were supposed to have a baseball game. My son was supposed to have a baseball game. I mean, when you're married for 14 years, you kind of just take care of your family. Just go through the day and you're like, yep, we did it. Let's do it again. And then you do it again. And then you say the same thing. Next year for 15, I feel like we should do something big.
That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to have a party for that.
I want to go to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, do that instead.
Our honeymoon was in North Carolina, and somebody I worked with at the radio station at the time gave us this timeshare, and we stayed in this massive condo and just didn't do anything because we couldn't afford anything else. Stick around. Mark Reardon Show is coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.